with you today. If you'd turn with us to the book of Acts, it is a joy to be here this morning. Turn with us, if you can, in Acts chapter number 19. Preach on a thought that I feel the Lord raised in my heart yesterday for this hour, found in Acts 19. So good to hear the sound of these little ones in the church. I seen on Facebook the other day, some folks was at Dignified Church where some parents were sitting. Somebody put a note, laid on the bench and said, "We have a nursery for your children." Well, we got a nursery for all them crybabies. Somebody say amen. And if I couldn't preach over a young'un, I'd get out of the preaching business. I'm glad to hear this morning. I'm glad you're here. You'd be surprised the places I preach, you don't hear the cries of the little ones. And I'm thankful for that. I think you ought to make your children behave. Tear their tail up. Somebody say amen. But thank God for the little ones in the house. Wasn't that precious, them little ones? Precious in the sight of Him. I'm glad Jesus loves the little ones. Paul now goes toward Ephesus. He said it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. He said unto them this question, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" They had to been Baptists, because this is their reply. They said unto him, "We have no so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." You may be seated this morning. Paul said, "I want to ask you a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" They said, "We've not even heard there be any Holy Ghost." I want to preach on this subject this morning. The missing ingredient. The missing ingredient. America's gotten so full of religion. Churches has gotten so full of religion and programs. But I'm glad that the God of this Bible says there is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not an influence. He's a person. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. He can be lied to. I think He's highly offended in many of our services. This morning, they said, "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And I want to take a few symbols in the Bible. And I want to say, first of all, in Ezekiel 37, turn to the left in your Bibles. Ezekiel 37. You've got a Scofield, it'll be around page 880. Let's look at this one symbol of the wind blowing. Boy, we need the wind blowing in our church services in this day and this hour. As our brother prayed, we need the wind blowing in America again. America has shook their fists in the face of God and said, "We don't need you now." And God said, "Well, you can have it." Let me tell you something. God is a jealous God. He's easy offended. And be sure our sin will find us out. And this morning we need the wind blowing. Ezekiel looked at a very low valley. And here on this missing ingredient, I want to say, first of all, we certainly need the wind blowing. You see, the most religious or one of the most religious men in the Bible, named Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night. And he said, "Rabboni," said, "we know thou art a teacher come from God. We know you're a good man." And Jesus turned and said, "You must be born again." He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth," or where it's sent. The wind is very important. You know, now we've got this culture that's going to change the weather. Honey, I come to tell you, there's only one can talk to the weather. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go on and get this out so I can get to preaching. They've hired 87,000 IRS agents, and what they ought to do is spend that money on putting security guards in our local schools. Somebody say amen. Now maybe I get to preaching. Not sure I will or not. Now, the wind is sovereign in its bestowal. It's sudden in its blowing. It's surprising in its behavior. But I want to say it's very significant in its benefits. We need the Spirit of God in our services. We need the Spirit of God in our community, in our homes, in our nation. We need the Spirit of God moving in our lives. You know, a lot of people, they make little of the Spirit of God, but you'll not go to heaven without Him. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 8, you can stay in Ezekiel. He said, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if you're saved. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from your dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." So if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. In other words, if you've never been born above, the Spirit of God don't live in you. My Bible says you're not going to heaven. Religion's not going to get you to heaven. Your good works is not going to get you to heaven. But the blood of Jesus will get you to heaven this morning. I'm glad on an old rugged cross, God sent His Son. And there was two thieves. The Lord was between them. One of those responded and said, "Lord, remember me." He said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He couldn't get around and walk and do good works. And I think when you get saved, you ought to do some good works. But your good works won't save you. He couldn't get down and be baptized. Well, I tell you what he was. He is saved by grace through faith on the cross that morning. And I'm glad we're still saved by grace through faith. There is no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Our sins are gone. Thank God for that. I'm glad the Spirit of God lives in me this morning. You say, "Preacher, how you know that?" Because He walks with me and talks with me. And when I do wrong, nobody has to convince me. He tells me that I've done wrong. And here now, this symbol of the Spirit of God, the wind blowing. Look in Ezekiel 37. What a great prophet. He sees something that is mind-boggling to him. It's hard for us to realize this vision that he sees. God takes him to an open valley. And I want to say this missing ingredient. First of all, we need the wind blowing. Only the wind can do things. Only the Spirit of God can do things. A man cannot get saved without the Spirit of God. God must deal with the sinner. Not only convict them, but convince them that they are a sinner. Boy, we need the wind blowing. Our song services will be real dry unless the Spirit of God moves across them. I'm thankful we can go to church where we know who the Spirit of God is. And when He is in our midst. Now, Ezekiel, he said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me," and here's our phrase, "and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord." The missing ingredient. Well, we need the wind blowing. Notice, there's the instrument of the Holy Ghost. He said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." I sure am glad that the Spirit of God is still upon His children. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of good preachers that preach a good outline. But But the Spirit of God is not on them, it won't be effectual. There's a lot of good songs that's been sung, but unless the Spirit of God is upon them, it won't be effectual. In our Sunday school classes, in our Wednesday night teachings, we need the Spirit of God upon the Word of God. Therefore, we see the instrument of the Holy Ghost. It was Ezekiel. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Then look at this. There's the influence of the Holy Ghost. He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. I love it when the Spirit of God will take you out of this world and let you look over into His world. You ever been in a church service when God got to move and the Spirit of God got to really ministering and all of a sudden it got over and you said, oh, I wish that could have lasted all day. I sure am thankful that there is the instruments of the Holy Ghost, God's people, but there is the influence of the Holy Ghost. We need more preachers preaching under the influence. We got a lot of folks driving under the influence, but we need some preaching under the influence of the Spirit of God that they've given their life to be filled and used for His honor and His glory and not ashamed of the culture and stand back and say, what thus saith the Word of God this morning? Oh, the wind blowing. We see the instrument of the Holy Ghost was Ezekiel, the influence of it. He carried him out. But then look in verse 2, there's the importance of it. He caused me to pass by them round about. Caused me to pass by. You may be surprised where the Spirit of God leads you to. And then we see in verse 3 the intelligence of the Holy Ghost. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? They sung about it a while ago. And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. The intelligence of the Holy Ghost. He knows everything. I tell you why to do good to mind the Spirit of God. Because He knows when the red light's going to change. And when you're in doubt, don't. If God don't give you liberty to do something, leave it alone. Pray, stay filled, follow God. Ask Him for direction. So he asked Ezekiel and he said, Lord, I don't know, but I know You know. Aren't you glad that we have a Holy Ghost that knows it all this morning? And then look at the, not only the intelligence of the Holy Ghost, but look at the instruction of the Holy Ghost in verse 4. Again, he said unto me, look what he tells him. Prophesy upon these bones. You know what he's telling him? I want you to preach. I want you to preach. If they ain't shaking their little Baptist head up and down, if they ain't shouting, I want you to preach what I gave you to preach. Prophesy unto them. Oh my, there's the instruction of the Holy Ghost. You see, there's only some things that preaching will take care of. He said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. A lot of you, you may think that your children is not listening to preaching, but they're getting a hold of a lot more than what you think they are. This morning we need the wind blowing in the preaching. We see the intelligence of the Holy Ghost, the instructions of the Holy Ghost. But then, look in verse 5, there's the implication of the Holy Ghost. Been a lot of sermons written on this verse. Look at it. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I sure am glad one day the Spirit of God come by and breathed in my soul and brought me eternal life. You say, preacher, how did that happen? God dealt with me. I realized I was a sinner. I come to Him by faith and cried out of my depth of my heart, Lord, save me. And He came to live in my life, and He breathed in my soul. And I'm glad that I'm saved for eternity this morning. You see the implication of the Holy Ghost. Now look in verse 7. Look at the interruption of the Holy Ghost. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He told him to preach and he started preaching. And watch this. He said there was a noise. Behold, a shaking. The bones came together. Bone to his bone. I'm glad there is the interruption of the Holy Ghost. He can take a dead service and make it very much alive. He can come upon a dead sinner and quicken them, make them alive to the things of God. Thank the Lord for the interruption of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad He dealt with me. I was minding my own business. I truly was. But God came to me and started dealing with me. And I'm forever indebted to His goodness and His mercy and His long-suffering. I sure am glad the Holy Ghost interrupted my life. I sure am glad He's interrupted your life. God came and dealt with us as individuals through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Interrupted our lives. Then you'll notice not only the interruption of the Holy Ghost, but look, if you would, in verse 9, there's the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. He said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And I love this. Look in verse 10. Lastly, there's the impact of the Holy Ghost. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. You see, when Ezekiel looked out at all these dry bones, God asked him, said, can these bones live? He said, Lord, Thou knowest. It don't look like to me they can. He said, well, let me tell you what you do. You preach. You just preach, and then you preach again. And the wind started blowing. God breathed in their midst. Look what the Bible said. They stood up a great and exceeding army. That's what the church better realize this morning. This is not a community gathering. This is the church, the blood-washed ones, called out of this world, where He said, be ye separate. Stood up on their feet. Can I tell you, it's time to stand today. If there's ever been a time, church, where we need to stand, we need to stand. You need to stand for your children. You need to stand for your homes and our community. As Paul said, and done all to stand. So as Paul comes down to Ephesus, he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we not even heard there be any Holy Ghost. My goodness, the Holy Ghost makes a difference in a church service. And so we see here the wind blowing. But then secondly, look in Exodus chapter number 3. Go to the left. Exodus 3. Moses at the burning bush. This one symbol's the wind blowing, but my goodness, now we need the fire burning. I'm glad there's a fire still burning in my heart. I come in feeling sort of low this morning, very tired, but I heard them young'uns singing, there's a fire started burning up in my heart. I sure am glad, as Jeremiah said, he said, Lord, I'm not going to preach anymore. But he said, I couldn't help it. He said, it started in my heart again. Aren't you glad we got a God that can set you on fire on the inside this morning? Oh, the wind blowing, but now we're going to see the fire burning. Look what God does. This is an amazing passage in our Bible. I love it. Give me 15 minutes, I'll be done preaching. Watch this, Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. Came the mountain of God, even to Horeb. You know, God's fixing to surprise him mightily. He's fixing to see something he's never seen in all his life. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now listen, he's seen a lot of bushes on fire, but he never had seen one that wouldn't burn up. Moses had seen fires all his life. Why, he's a shepherd on the backside of the desert. But now, God lights this bush up, and it won't burn up. Moses said, I will now turn aside, see this great sight. While the bush is not burnt. I want to ask you today about this fire burning. I wonder what it's going to take for God to get your attention. The Bible said He turned aside to look. I'm glad God got my attention one day. Has God ever got your attention and showed you who you are and where you are? And so here, this fire burning, look what happens. Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. We was talking about this week, about the fire that's burning, one of the emblems of the Spirit of God, that fire burning. You know, as Moses was on the backside of that desert, he was leading those sheep. God set a bush on fire and He called to him out of that bush. As I said earlier, the bush wouldn't burn up. It got Moses' attention. And when Moses turned, God called to him. There's one of them double name calls in the Bible again. Moses, Moses. And we were thinking about this. I've seen the times at Liberty Baptist Church. I was here one Sunday morning. We hadn't even put the wings on the facility. I was in the foyer. There's a young man came through the door and he looked at me and he was a big fella and he said, where's the preacher? I said, I'm the pastor here. He said, well, I've been coming to the front of this church all week and God's got my attention out of that steeple and He's talking to me and He says, I don't know what He's saying. I said, well, have you ever been saved? He said, no, I've never been saved. I said, do you want to be saved? He said, yes, that's why I stopped, to get saved. I want to be saved. I'm telling you, we need the fire of God burning out of the bushes across this country, calling people's names, get saved, get saved, get saved, get saved for the honor and the glory of God. Oh, we need a fire burning. We've got to let it burn in our hearts. You wonder sometimes why we don't have glorious services. I know things are different, but let me tell you, if we'll come in here with our fire burning in our heart, our services will get a lot better. They'll get a lot brighter. If we just appreciate and realize where our bread is buttered and we need the Lord. And get out of this world. Get your face in your Bible. Your knees in your altar and call on God. And let Him build that fire in your heart once again in this day and this hour. God called His name out of that burning bush. Dear Lord. Dear Lord, I pray You'll keep speaking out of this bush in Bowden, Georgia. These little ones that mom and daddies are so good to bring, God speak to them. God speak to the daddies and the mamas that's never been saved. Those in religion, take the blinders off of their eyes and let them see the need of Christ. Oh, today this great emblem. Not only the wind blowing, the fire burning, there's a woman at the well, we see the water bubbling. I sure am glad in John chapter number 4 today, there was a lady said something that's dear to my heart. Talking about the missing ingredient. Boy, we need the wind blowing, the fire burning, but we need the water bubbling. John chapter 4, looks what Jesus has to say. He said, verse number 4, He must needs go through Samaria. He cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, He sat on the well and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman, and I preached about this last Sunday, of Samaria. She is a Samaritan. She was a lowlife. She was an outcast. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria to Him, how is it that you being a Jew ask drink of me, which I am woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst ask of Him and He would have given thee living water. The woman said unto Him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well's deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever, I like that word, whosoever, Jesus died for all. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, here it is, shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Oh, we need the wind blowing. We need the fire burning and we need the water bubbling. A well that never runs dry. I'm glad sometimes it springs up in me. Sometimes it stays just as a pool. Sometimes it gets to moving, but I sure am glad when it bubbles over. And I tell you this morning, we sure do need the Holy Ghost springing over in our lives and our homes. I want to ask y'all something this morning. The Bible says, be ye filled with the Spirit of God. That's not a suggestion, it's a command. Every Christian, his heart and desire is that God would fill his life with His goodness and His presence. Now, the day we got saved, God baptized us in the family of God by the Spirit of God. He came and lived in us. And I realize the Bible says, be ye filled. You know why? Because we leak. When we're looking at things we don't need to be looking at, you know what's happening? We're leaking. When we're talking about things that we don't need to be talking about, we're leaking. When we're going to places that God's not pleased with, we're leaking. And what we need to realize is we need to walk with Christ every day to stay filled with the Spirit of God. Did you know that every home that's represented in this building this morning, if everybody here was saved and filled with the Spirit of God, the homes would be so much easier. Life would be so much simpler. This morning, they said, we've not even heard there be no Holy Ghost. Isn't that sad? You know, you may be surprised. And I know a lot of you don't understand this because you've never seen it or realized this. But you would be surprised the places that are gathered today in the name of worship that they know very little about the Spirit of God. They know about entertainers. They know about agendas. They know about programs. But what about the Spirit of God? Liberty, what about the Spirit of God? He's our friend. He's not an influence. He's a person. He lives inside of us if we're saved. We can grieve Him. We can lie to Him. We can quench Him. When the Lord's moving in your heart to do something, don't quench Him. Mind Him. You ever thought about this? I sang the other day traveling. I thought about this just pondering. Did you know any time the Lord has ever showed me to do something, I don't know why I ever doubted Him, because God's never had to think of nothing. God's always know the end of the situation. If God's moving on you to do something, He's already got it all figured out. All you've got to do is trust Him and mind Him. God's never had a hiccup or an oh me or oh that ain't going to work out. No, God knows everything. There's nobody like Him. And this morning, we don't even know there'd be no Holy Ghost. Oh, we need the wind blowing. We need it blowing on the children. We need the fire burning that would warm us, put a glow on our face, a glow on our church. We need the water bubbling. Can I tell you, Jesus is exciting. Somebody said, well, you know, I get saved, but look what I miss. No, you don't understand. You don't really understand what you're missing. Jesus is everything. And then lastly, oh my goodness, in Jeremiah 8:22, watch this, Jeremiah 8:22. I want you to look at this text, Jeremiah chapter number 8. In verse 22. This fourth emblem I'd like to talk about just a moment is the oil balming. Jeremiah 8:22. He cried these words, and it's so true. Miss Emily, if you come this morning, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Is there no balm in Gilead? Preacher, what you thought there? We need the oil balming. You see, when you look at this little balsa tree, it didn't look much. It wasn't nothing for shade or beauty. It was just a little low-lying shrub in the desert. But I was reading this one time about this little tree, and Brother Mike, when it was wounded, when it was scarred or hit, there flowed a special ingredient out of it known for its healing property. It was taken out of that sap, it was applied, it was put in a bottle, and then it was applied to the wound. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? We need the oil balming. This morning, one of our men in the prayer room said he had a need in his life this week. We gathered around him and prayed. You know, simply what we were doing, just putting a little oil in. A little love, a little compassion. I left Mississippi Thursday. I preached Wednesday night. The pastor had that church do something really touched me. I needed something here Thursday pretty bad. He knew about it. Brother Mike, he had all his people gather around me. This is the way Brother Lee had all y'all gather around me not long ago. That church began to pray and weep. Asked God to help me. You know what? God helped me.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've noticed this these afflictions, when we're hit, that pours out of the wound, you can help a lot of people with it. Not bitterness or anger. Compassion. Sympathy, love, comfort. Is there no balm in Gilead? What happened to the sensitivity of God's people? People that's hurting, struggling. Thank the Lord, there is oil that is balming. I'm glad the Spirit of God can touch our lives and our hearts and our souls. Help us in this hour. We need each other. More than we've ever needed each other, we need each other. They stood up on their feet, a great army. Liberty Baptist Church, you have a name across many regions of ministry. Helping, giving, standing for the truth, the Word of God. Helping God's people. Let's don't forget, God needs a great army. Let's don't forget, not only we need the wind blowing, but oh, we need the fire burning in our hearts again. The other Sunday morning when that choir sung, I thought the top was going to leave off. What a blessing. What a blessing. You may be here today and you've never been saved. Like the woman in Samaria. Jesus loves you. If you'd asked Him to give you a drink, He'd give you a drink this morning. From a well that never runs dry. Oh, it may get low on you, but it'll never give out. Miss Florine tickled me this morning.